listening to Kay and the thing that I experienced while she was speaking, as she got out her machine gun, because there was a lot of content. And the only thing I could remember telling her is the whole time she was speaking, I heard every word. Now, it doesn't mean I know every word, but I heard every word, and it spoke into me, and it began to change some concepts I had. And I didn't even know how it was changing them, but I told her, I said, you know, when you were talking, I had a vision the whole time while she was talking that I was running down a hallway and switching all these switches on. All these switches were being turned on. And this had to be like the main power to the building last night. But I had a huge switch turn on last night that brought a lot more clarity. And I really appreciate it. And I really trust her spirit. And that encourages me, because a lot of times when you hear things that are strange, you say, well, Father, I can't say that. You know, I mean, you know it, you hear it, but you don't know how to communicate it yet. So I hope today that I don't fumble around my tongue too much, because a lot of what I'm sharing with you is new. And I'm going to learn it with you. I want to go back to a lesson to start out tonight that I shared about a year ago, and I heard it in a different way last night when Kay was speaking. And I'm going to have a lot of scripture. That's why I've got the computer up here. I'm not going to give you every chapter and verse, but I am going to tell you we're going to start out with James 3, 17 and 18, and after that you're on your own. So I'm going to try to speed it up like Kay does. So I got a lot of verses. Now, I like space exploration. When I was a young boy, I loved Star Trek. I still do. And what is it about that kind of stuff that's so inviting is that they're exploring new frontiers, aren't they? And that's what we're doing. We're exploring something that's limitless. It has no beginning and has no end. It's not confined by time and space. And I'd read an article that was where they said they had discovered these two planets that were 191 light years away. Now that's a long ways. But they found them paired together, and they said they were very, very similar to Earth. Now how they could see through a telescope 191 light years away and come to that conclusion, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. But I asked everyone in the meeting, I said, I'd like you to take a journey with me to these planets. And it represents the kingdom of God. And if we read through James now, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated or easily understood, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace, that is flowing out from within themselves. Now, we're not making peace until it's flowing out from within ourselves. We might know about peace, and we're going to talk about a false sense of peace a little later. But if you go with me now to these planets, when you first arrive, there is a huge stone with an inscription on it. And I believe that what's written on this stone is the purest wisdom you could ever speak with your lips. I'm going to tell you what this pure wisdom is, where the benchmark, the basis and foundation is for our understanding. And if you're, when you're out in life and you're confused and you're struggling, you can always go back to this beginning of this truth, and it will help to get yourself in line. And so what is a word that's so pure, that's undefiled, and cannot be changed? Something that's changeless. And that word is, there is only God, there's nothing but God. There's only God, there's nothing but God. And I entered that into my Google that night, and it brought up this group that was singing. They all had instruments out, and there were 30 or 40 of them on a platform, and they just kept singing this as a mantra. And as I kept listening, as Kay was sharing this with us last night, it became more aware in my consciousness that there's only God, there's nothing but God. Now, I want to add a little twist to it that might shock you, but it's still true. Because remember, there's only God, there's nothing but God. So there's only God, there's nothing but God, and there's nothing you can do about it. Not a thing. Now, that stopped me in my tracks. Right? In my understanding, it stops you dead in your tracks. It changes the whole meaning of that, doesn't it? Because a lot of people say, well, they believe in God, but the problem is we've believed in a God that the world and religion has portrayed to us. And that God needs to be crucified. Did you hear me? That God needs to be crucified along with who you think you are. Not who you know you are, who you think you are. Because who you think you are is your enemy. Who you really are has none. And when you're in a range of thinking about who I am and trying to do things, you always have a God. And we have many gods ourselves. We have many, many gods. There's billions of gods out there. But there's only one true God. And so when you say, even when you say, I don't even really like the word God, to be honest with you. Do you know why? Because we think of something ruling over and controlling. And it's the wrong definition. So now we're going to, can we raise it up another notch? I'm going to be like Emerald. I'm going to throw something on the pan. And we're going to go, pow. Bam. Let's, bam. And he breaks out the wine. Everybody gets excited and starts screaming, right? So now, who is God? And it's very, very simple. God is unconditional love. So now when we change it to there's only love, there's nothing but love, that's something we can get our arms around. Right? You can understand that. There's only love, there's nothing but love, and you can't do anything about it. You really can't. As soon as you try, you're in duality. You are love, you can't try to be love. Because as soon as you say in your mind, I want to try to be love, and there's a you, you've got separation. See, there's two now again. You following me? If you've got a you and a God, where the hell is he? Where is he? And we've been praying to him a lot. Now I'm all done with that, okay? This is the purest wisdom you could ever say with your lips. There's only love and there's nothing but love. Now when you turn around and you see, you look around everybody, what do you see? You're seeing love. And when you understand the righteous judgment of the Father, that it's progressive. Yep. He's not forgiving you. Nope. God isn't forgiving you. God isn't up there sitting, I guess I'll put up with their sorry asses. They'd really screwed up today. You know. That's not a God of pure love. right? God, our Father, has absolutely no history. He has no memory. He has no memory. He is eternally present in this righteousness and loving kindness towards us. There's no message purer than that. And if you find yourself getting in a place of frustration or fear, this is what you've got to return to. And that's the plumb line. This is your plumb line of life, is return back to that. And I love what you said. You said, well, I don't know what to say, but I know that I love you. And if that's all you can say, don't say anything else. If you're confused, just put the shut to the up. Now, I say it a little cruder than that, but I'm going to try to bring it up a little bit higher, right? I just say shut the hell up. Because that's what's speaking, isn't it? Hell speaks. The serpent's tongue is your own tongue when you're living in unbelief. It's your own tongue. And that's why it says life and death is in the tongue. Now, the power of life and death isn't in the tongue. It's the barometer of life and death. It's your Geiger counter. It's telling you, what do you really know when you're all alone and nobody's watching? What is it that you're thinking about? What do you want? And so we even find that seeking God is the wrong language. If you've got you and you're seeking a God, you've got duality and failure.
Yep. Go ahead.
Because we don't know ourselves then, do we? Be still and know yourself.
Right.
Not be still and know God. Be still and know yourself. And that the soul and the very identity of you at the depth of your being is unconditional love. Without restrictions, without any memory. It says he's, now we can't even read Corinthians 13 because we think, it says that the devils believe in God. Well, who are the devils? Us thinking, worshiping this false God. That's who the devils are. So we believe in God, well, so are the devils. Big deal.
Come on.
And the devil loves for you to tell him that he's loved. He does. He likes all that stuff. He's a good church-going Christian. He understands all the Bible verses. But when you start to experience it, as Kay shared with us, and it begins to flow out of you, it shuts you up. And you start saying, what in the hell am I saying? If you get an out-of-body experience, I'm telling you. I don't have time to give you testimonies, but I got plenty to share with you. Okay? We're not going to go there. So, this is conferences talking about revelation, revolution. So, I took two of my favorite scriptures in Revelation, and I'm going to open with one now and close with one. And so now, we're on this planet. We've entered into the kingdom of God, right? We saw the inscription. All you got to do is believe what it says over this stone. There's nothing but love. There's only love. And you can't do anything about it. Now, once you go through that fence, that invisible fence there, if you try to love, you're going to get zapped. You have to realize your love. And if you got to shut up and tie yourself to a fence post or be Nebuchadnezzar out eating grass with the oxen, then that's what you better go do. Right? Till you get it figured out, just shut the hell up and go out there, okay? Now, Kay said some things to me last night that changed my perception of some things. And I was going to share some of that today. And you want to know what? I'm going to shut the hell up about it. I'm not going to talk about it until all of the onion layers on that understanding gets... There's a lot of questions came with what I heard. I'm just telling you right now. It's just like, I'm going, nope, shut up, Nevins. And what she said lines up with this pure wisdom. I knew it. I understood it, but I didn't know it at the depth, and it has to do with dealing with the body. Okay? That's a hard one, folks. I had all the other ones in line, but I didn't have one about the body in line. And I listened to her again today, and I said, yep, I've got to get in line with that, which means I got to shut up. I can't speak. So now, this pure wisdom, what is it? It said, when I was in Dalton, Pennsylvania, I got the revelation of this verse, and immediately I quit believing in eschatology, which is projecting revelation into the future. Because we studied it all, and I believed in pre-trib and mid-trib and post-trib and amillennialism. And well, I mean, it was just, my head was spinning, you know. And then I read this verse at the end of Revelation, and I thought, well, Jesus was talking about that when he said he cast the devil out of him because the kingdom of God came. That's back in the Gospels. Hello, I said to myself. And he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared for a bride, adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven. There we go. This thing's drooping on me. Sorry. Thank you. And he said, I heard a great voice out of heaven. Now, where did the voice come from? From inside him. I heard a great voice come out from within me saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he shall dwell with them? No, as them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, I want to read that again just quickly without a lot of the little words of separation. As I saw the new heaven, all the former things passed away. And the Holy of Holies began to be seen out from within myself, and it said, I am your habitation. I am your dwelling place. Yep. And in Ephesians and in Psalms, it says, we are the habitation of God. And when it says, and there'll be no other gods before me, he was talking about you and your God. There will be no other gods before me. It's all me, and there's nothing but me. There's only love, there's nothing but love, and you're it. Now, we've been playing hide and seek with love all our lives, right? Yep. And one day it's going to tag you and grab you by the toe, and it turns around and says, you're it. You're it. And there is nothing else besides that, and you can't do anything about it. Now, it's true, we have to experience it, but it's all in there. It's like the Ragu commercial, right? You open it up and mama says, it's all in there, right? Well, that's what you are. And so we've got to learn, as Candy was sharing and we shared Thursday night, we've got to change our whole language. There's too many ands and as's and pluses, way too many. And it's natural for us being born into a realm that's formed by egocentric thinking to naturally fall to that area. It's just, we're taught it. So, when will you begin to see the new heaven and new earth? When will you begin to see it? When the old one passes away. When the old one passes away. He taketh away the first, our concept of heaven and earth, where we're judging by appearances, that he may establish the second. He takes away the first. He takes away the first. And how does he do it? And when this word comes to you, yet once more signifieth what? The removing of those things that can be shaken. as of the things that are made, which is our judgment of the world. That's what it's talking about. And Kay really emphasized that last night. He removes the things that can be shaken. Why? That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. They have to be removed, guys. You are going to suffer so that you can learn obedience. Why? Because everything that's not of the kingdom will be shaken. It will be. And if you want to get in line with it, instead of fighting it, it won't have twins anymore, and it won't be twice as hard. Let the shaking go on. And I told the Father one day after a huge shaking in my life, and I have several episodes of shaking, I said, you know, I really don't care. I just turned away and said, you know, whatever this is I'm doing, and I was going to some fundamental Baptist churches at the time. Okay, I went to Bob Jones University. Yeah, exactly. I just said one, I threw up my hands and I said, I don't know what the hell this is, but it ain't working.
Amen.
And I drove off and I said to the Father, I says, I don't care what it takes, I want to know you.
Amen.
Now, 20 years ago, 25 years ago is when I said that.
Amen.
Okay? And I've been like a dog on a trail without a meal ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding you. You can ask this woman when I met her almost 20 years ago. I put in my profile, I said, if you're not interested in God, don't call me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm into.
Mm-hmm.
And so